Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're still in our third round of the five koshas, and we're heading into working with transformation of sadness and overexcitement into its healthy role. So I wonder what that might be, and I wonder what that could feel like for you today. And wherever that lands is perfect. So I don't have a specific agenda and that you should all feel a certain way at any point in time in any of these calls. You may have noticed that already. But I'm more intrigued to notice what actually is happening. So when I say it that way, I'm trying to evoke or invoke more curiosity to support you all in finding what's here inside of you. So as we turn our attention in that direction, I already said this earlier, but if there is anything as you look inward that you'd like to specifically focus on today, I welcome you to share it on in the chat feature. And as always, I haven't mentioned this in a while, if you have anything that you would like me to know, you're always welcome to message me or email me in advance. Okay. All right, my loves. Then I'm getting some good messages in there. Thank you for that all. I'm going to invite us to focus on our breath. And as you turn towards your breath, every inhale an opportunity to call in. To receive, to drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to be with it. And as you savor it, you might even begin to notice the things that you like about it. And I invite you to savor those too. Okay. Then, I'm going to invite you to, on purpose, locate something either out there or in here that similarly is pleasant, to the very least neutral. And as you scan your environment, internally or externally, and your attention, your awareness lands on those things that you've located, I invite you to notice the qualities that you appreciate the most in this moment. And as you appreciate those qualities, this becomes automatically its own form of savoring. And through this process, I wonder how your body is responding. If anything in there feels again pleasant and neutral, taking time to savor that too. Okay. As you continue to stay with that process, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here just as you are. We give thanks to all that's gone into this sweet opportunity to connect in these ways today. Thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that we rest upon, that we walk upon, that nourish us, that have nourished all those that have come before us, including gratitude to our family, our ancestors, and our lineages. And we give thanks for all of that nourishment is to bring in and to offer us in this world to those that have yet to arrive and to all that we have yet to do. And thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift of what it is to be in this body, in this mind. We give great, great thanks to the earth that holds us, the air above reminding us what it is to have space, and the fire and the waters that pour through us all. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Okay, interestingly enough, we're starting off in body chemistry. I'm trying to figure out if I'm projecting a little bit here because I'm actually just a little bit underneath the weather on the tail end, but nonetheless still in it a little bit. As we work with body chemistry, okay, maybe less projection. It supports the immune system. We're heading into the category of intolerances. And as we work with this, it's heading into the emotional frequency of, and probably not a surprise here, of sadness. Almost like there's a learned response to wish to reject the sadness or potentially wish to accept the sadness. In either way, there's a charge there. So whether that's a go away, stay out, or whether that's a, oh, this is familiar, I don't like it, but you know what? I know how to be here. So come on in. And as we work with that dichotomy, that split, know that it's actually really just one and the same. There's an incongruency with your system and the emotion of sadness in some particular way. And on a subconscious level, it's almost as if, like, hey, as long as I know what this is, I can control it. When that happens, the energy of sadness isn't free to do what it's most meant to do. And sadness has actually a really significant role to play in our lives. It has an opportunity to do many things. One that I'm going to talk about right now is to draw us inward. And as we get drawn inward, we may have the opportunity to see what's really here with another level of clarity that we weren't available to witness prior. And often it gets treated with this like a, ugh, why is this here again? Or a, yeah, I know what this is. I'll just, treat it like I always do. And we don't always greet it like with fresh eyes, so to speak. We anticipate what it's going to be. That's all linking in through to the 12th house, in particular the liver and the liver meridian that this is connected to. And as we work with that liver, it's almost like the sadness gives the liver something to fight against. So it's almost as if when the sadness shows up, the liver can have an opportunity to work a little bit harder in some ways that it may not ordinarily do so, to try to counteract the sadness. So in this way, there becomes like a benefit through to the system of like, hey, as long as I'm getting into that overreaction about sadness, my liver functions better. So best I be in this mode. It's interesting. I know we talked about sadness through a body talk lens of being connected through to the fire element, working with things like the heart, small intestine, triple heater, pericardium. However, in traditional Chinese medicine, the liver is actually thought to be the organ that processes sadness. So in a way, your system is not wrong. In a way, it actually is doing just that. It's bringing the liver into further activity, waking it up from its slumber. There may have been just a little bit checked out here or there. It's all oriented to ages 2 to 3, so that time frame as you were developing, primarily through most of age 2 and a little bit into early of age 3. And within this, it's something along the lines of when we begin to learn that you actually get to be yourself. Like there's actually a you in there. There's actually the capacity to develop significantly into who it is you're going to be as a person, as an individual. And in that process, there's a fair amount of overwhelm that began to collect. Like, I have to make that choice. I don't know how to choose that. And that impacted autonomy, which I'll simplify greatly in saying that it's about our capacity to think that we get to choose, and that in turn helps us to choose who we are, be able to choose our words, be able to choose our expression of ourselves. And I sort of cherry-picked my explanation on autonomy, as this is linking into the throat chakra, where the liver also has more, I want to say, around the chest, but it goes into the throat region as well. And we're just simply running the permissions for this age 2-3 year old. Your expression of you is welcome here. Your expression of you is welcome here. And then the image that I have is of, you know, like those fancy plates in the restaurants which get served with the cover, the dome over top. It's kind of like that, but it's over this 2-3 year old and it's skinny and narrow to be more human shaped. And it's clear glass and it's carrying the energy of shutdown. Like there's this learned, innate, built-in, to the point where you may not even know that it's there, need or desire to basically navigate life through this lens of shutdownness. Which then in turn creates more sadness, which then in turn invokes the liver to work harder, which all that same spiel that I went through already. So it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy and this cycle that rotates over and over and over and over and over again. Okay, that's linking into the solar plexus chakra, which happens to support the governance of the liver. And here we're bringing in the planetary energy of the sun, which helps us to express our fullest life force potential possible. And with that, I begin to see that little glass covering begin to melt, almost like it was ice being greeted by warmth. And as that trickles away, melting, melting, we invite you to connect to your breath just a little bit more, in particular on that inhale. And as we link this through to the inhale, we're linking it specifically to the consciousness of the inhale. In this case, that of inspiration and expansion. Okay, and then that's linking into the entire upper body, but predominantly the regions of the chest and throat. As we support that expansion here, there's like a natural lift rise through the system that allows for the upper body to begin to more easily, I'm going to say not slouch in its posture, but to like more effortlessly rise as if it was soaring up through the skies, up to the sky. If you can imagine pointing your heart and your throat to the sky, you may even do that for a moment if you have the space to do so. It brings in even more of that energy of the sun, which creates the melt, which creates an upward spiral. And in this way, there is a gentle unwinding of the entire energy around how the sadness was being depended upon and utilized. It's all being defined by the consciousness of being blindsided. Like everything I've done in this whole session until now, we can imagine that we can feel like a gigantic circle around it all. And it's being defined by the essence of being blindsided. Whether that's by the sadness or by life or by something else itself. And we can imagine that blindsidedness as being in like the beginning of that whole formula. On the other side of that, it's bringing in the consciousness of having like a wake-up call through to the system. Not that there's anything that you need to do specifically conscious in your conscious being. And as we work with this, there may be something that does spark in your awareness that you wish to implement in your conscious being. Feel free to turn towards that, note that. and integrate that into your day-to-day life. In essence, if anything ever moves you, and that's true in this moment as well as any time we're working together, that there's like this little spark of, hey, I think that could be useful for me to investigate further or work out, then basically supporting that with lovingly assigning yourself the homework that seems most relevant to that for yourself. Okay, this is all linking now, once again, to that 12th house, house of that liver meridian. And we're unhooking the desire to have to push or fight your way through life. And as we do that, running of permissions here, and the words are, what if it doesn't have to be a struggle? What if it doesn't have to be a struggle? And that's linking into a potential exercise if you feel drawn to, which is if you have a sadness right now or if it shows up later on that you're really present to, I'm going to invite you to notice where that is inside of you and what it seems to be doing inside of you. And that might be like nothing. That might be like it's pulling you inward, it's pushing you outward, or anything else. And the suggestion here is to literally go with it. As we go with it, invoking as much curiosity as can be here to begin to learn what it's whispering to you. So feel free to take that on as much or as little as you feel called to as optional exploration. Okay, beautiful. It's all linking into the intestine, specifically the outer lining, where the connective tissue cohesively unifies them all. And here, there's just a sense of rigidity, like a sense of like really strong rigidity, like to the point of being bulletproof. There's this energy of as long as I'm on guard, then I won't get hurt. So better I hang on to what's here, the pain of what's here and not change, better I be, if you will, constipated in that routine versus the potential of feeling what's underneath this all. And similarly, we're going to bring in the planetary energy of the sun one more time. And with it, the energy of the fifth house, which is all about pleasure, play, creativity, and supporting the system in opening up through the fifth house and the sun to selectively allow what no longer needs to be here to release, almost like that water melting in spring. I know that might be the opposite season for some of you that we're in right now, and or for many of us, as we imagine what it is to have the warmth of the sun melting our snow, our ice, and bringing in the puddles of water. I imagine that this melts like puddles of water begin to collect and pool, but they are somehow gathering in the base of the pelvis. And it's creating a bit of a shutdown through the sexual chakra and a shutdown through to enjoyment of pleasure, of creativity, of what it means to allow yourself to feel good. What it means to orient to what gets to feel good again. Almost as if there again there's that fear of I'll get hurt again, so better I just don't bother feeling good again. Otherwise I'll just open myself up even further to a world of hurts. And it's linking very specifically to an energetic line. This is on both sides of the body. It's more of a breathwork thing. It's on the right-hand side, and it's the third line, which is all about love and how we open to receive it, how we offer it. On the right-hand side, it's more specifically in how we act. So how we offer it, how we React potentially could also be in here to being loved. And for some of us, I might actually feel like it's really touchy. Might feel like it's really challenging. Or there might be this automatic, like, well, of course I can be loved. Why wouldn't I be able to just simply be loved? And yet there might be some pain in there around past experiences of being hurt. That's essentially what we're defragging now, all the way through this line. It's about halfway between the midline and the outer edge of the body. And as we run a defrag here, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter of what no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then underlying that, on the back side of the body, again, that same area between midline and outer edge, roughly about halfway, there's this energy of automatic rejection of, like, you're full of shit. There's an energy of distrust. Okay, so for here, bear with me. My sensory image is of, like, party balloons bubbling up. And then party hats, and then I see fire. So I'm just making sense of the images that are speaking today. Okay. So start off with working with a time in which you felt like you weren't celebrated sufficiently, like a time in which the celebration maybe went awry or just didn't happen at all. Or it did happen, but it just didn't feel like it was sufficient. And that creating actually excess fire in the heart out of a desire to literally, like, stoke your own fire. So there became this excess fire in the heart, which tends to lead to dryness, confusion, tends to lead to a wide variety of symptoms, but I'm going to keep it really simple with that. And here we're just simply bringing in hydration through to the heart. Helping these cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Intertwined with this is this, like, ugh, do I even have to do this for myself too? Like, do I even have to celebrate myself too? Like, ugh, I have to do everything for myself. And working with that sense of, like, this is so challenging, I don't want to do this. Working with the sense of, ugh, apathy, dread. Underlying it all, if we could sum it up in a word or two, would be the sense of feeling unsupported and learning that you're actually not supposed to have been supported, and that coming through the family lines. And that's predominantly what was happening for that 2-3-year-old, but this came in more on the 3-year-old side of the timeline. And it continued upwards through the age of 6. And the ages 3 to 6 is when we're most predominantly, learning what it is to experience love and getting in touch with the very beginnings of our sexual essence. More so in this form, it's becoming aware that we are a sexual being, like we have genitals and there gets to be pleasure there. And here we need to unhook a fair amount of shame. Coming off of, again, that right third half, well, I keep calling it the third line, but the halfway line between midline and outer edge on the right side, front and back alike. And here we're just simply running the permissions for this 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old of, you are accepted as you are. You are accepted as you are. You are accepted as you are. And as you tune into this body mind and that right side, I'm going to invite you to give your entire right side a breath. In any areas that feel a bit crunchy, like they're kind of stiff, I'm going to invite you to breathe into them one more time, but do it as softly as you can, almost like you're nourishing from the inside out with that breath. And if it's available, I'm going to invite you to take your hands to those parts on the right side that just feel a little bit stiff or agitated, a little stuck. And here we're unhooking the feeling of being incapable from any areas. And if you're not sure where those are, don't worry, I'll take care of it on this end. And we're going to run circulation of all the healing resources through here. Blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our body mind to heal on every level, in particular the nervous and immune system. We're also going to bring in circulation of the basic yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and the yang, the masculine essence of protection. And then bringing in hydration for good measure, helping these cells take in water, enjoy, and release any impurities. And I don't think I've ever actually done this before. We're actually bringing in the consciousness of the butterfly, which has been my business logo for years running now. And the butterfly is often known for its capacity to transform, to be able to reinvent itself, and to be able to come out of those dark, ooey-gooey places in a way that lets them, again, have lightness, to be able to fly and to soar and to bring beauty to the world. So in other words, it's like almost like a message of hope. On the other side of that pain and suffering, once it gets digested sufficiently, there gets to be an opportunity for something different to take place. And there may be some beauty in there that you weren't even aware of, that it was supporting as you went through that journey. The timing of that is going to be unique for each and every person here. And as far as I can tell, it doesn't show up by imagining just that we are on the other side, although that's a significant portion and can be helpful to it. It comes predominantly through the digestion of the darkness. In order to digest it, it means we need to turn towards whatever seems to be painful, whatever seems to be hurtful, whatever seems to be challenging. Not because we're, in essence, trying to fix it or make it go away. That doesn't usually work very well. But if you turn towards and you welcome it to be here, it becomes this somehow counterintuitive thing in our modern day world to do so. But it becomes this doorway in. So I invite you to turn towards and just simply be with what's here. As we do that, we're going to link this through to your very blood, and we're balancing your blood sugar in particular, as it orients to being able to be present to the sweetness, like it's to actually flow through you, like it's to flow through this life. As we orient to being able to have sweetness flow through life, through your very bones, well, blood. We're also linking it through to the bones. And we're doing this for the ancestral realms. We're going back 7 generations. And As we do so, turning again and again and again towards the pain, the challenge, the hurt, which somehow ends up in allowing sweetness of life to flow even more thoroughly. We're reminding 7 generations of those that have come before you, as well as you in this body mind. And as we do that for the very core of your bones, it's again linking right back into where our blood comes from. And then we're just simply running the permissions that it's safe to be me. It's safe to be me. It's safe to be me. And this way, the system begins to get used to tolerating, because sometimes we have to relearn how to do that, what it is to feel supported from the inside out. And as we do this, we're working in the theme of connection as we do it through all 7 generations. And we link that through to not just your bones and your blood, but now we're linking that into the heart and into the elements of fire that governs it itself. And as we support the system of being on fire with connection. Versus the old story of lack of support. I wonder what that brings up. And there's any parts of you that are a little like, I don't know, kind of leery, or maybe even just automatically hitting sadness or depression of like, yeah, that seems kind of scary. I'll just turtle and go inwards, or any variation in between. I'm going to welcome those parts to receive some body talk access, starting with cortices, which helps to balance the two sides of our brain, switching, which helps to, cope with stress. Hydration, which helps us to take in that water and joy and release any impurities. Body chemistry, which supports our immune system. And then reciprocals, which helps us. There's 17 of them. They work with different paired points throughout the system. And it helps us to bring us into alignment and reconnect us to our most authentic power. The energy that runs through our very being. Now, as we work with this, it's bringing up some of the issues that we might have as we have, again, learned how to connect in a certain way. There may be in you, and you might actually see that as you project it onto others, which is usually the way these things work, that you want to avoid or that you attract people who are avoidance. And that might be in relationship, that might be with the people that you work with, that might be your friendships. There's something in here around that. And again, it works with that desire to kind of push away, but there's also this desire simultaneously to pull back. So I'm going to push away and pull back in order to avoid. I'm going to call this learned restraint and suppression. It's coming down through the maternal lineage. Which, if it could talk, would say something to the effect of, I want to reach out for love, but I'm afraid that I will once again get too hurt. So for this, through the maternal lineage, again, going back 7 generations, we're in a seed tree. It's going to continue until we meet again for the next 6 days. Starting with C, again, circulation of all those same healing resources that I mentioned earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, etc. Followed by a D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Take care of the clutter that no longer needs to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up the possibilities where it may seem like there is none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay, and then we're looking at how your overall, I don't usually see it come up this way, orienting to all the generations that have come before you in your ancestry on the maternal side, on your mom's side. And this has not only the push away, pull back. It also has just a general like shutdown. And there is this insecurity around never knowing which one it was going to be. I'm either going to be pushed away, I'm going to be greeted with an energy of being pulled back or restrained from, or I might be just completely shut down. And these are all, again, learned responses. So in other ways of talking about this, we might call it anxious avoidance attachment. And within it, it's creating a self-fulfilling prophecy of insecurity, in a sense of I don't know what I want, I don't know how to gravitate towards that, and it's creating basically just massive layers of confusion. Okay. So as we work with it, we're actually going to run a defrag through your feminine side, through the left side of the body, in particular on the front half. And as that happens, I see like the energy of a soldier standing guard. And we're just going to supportively allow that to melt away. This time we're going to bring in the planetary energy of the moon, connecting us to its maternal expressions, knowing how to provide nourishment even through the darkness, even through the times of challenge and hurt and pain. There are certain flowers that will only respond to the light of the moon. So I imagine in almost that same way that there is a garden inside of you that responds to this moonlight on this feminine half of you. And then I see the sun and the moon coming together in the center of the forehead, where our prefrontal cortex resides. The center of compassion, empathy, and higher self alike, bringing in the consciousness of unity as the moon and the sun come together in these ways. Bringing in the consciousness of the deepest connection there is, that to oneness, that to source itself. Now it's linking into the entire midline of the body, all the way through the very center, the very core. And just simply working with the nervous system energy that flows through here. Often referred to as the Sushumna, the central channel. The Taji pole. It has lots of names. And in essence, it's just wound a little bit too tight. I invite you to breathe right into the very core, right into your very midline, the center, all the way through. Think vertically here, not like abs. And as you breathe into the very center, the vertical line that runs through us all, I can't help but think of a construction term. It's a bit geeky. I know it's used in other circles as well. I learned about it in medical school as well. I've just been renovating a little bit recently. And it's referred to as the plumb line. Which makes me think of, like, are you feeling plumb? It's kind of an old expression. Like, our grandparents may have used it, or my grandparents may have used it. Are you feeling plumb today? And as it works with that, it helps us to bring in that idea of feeling like deeply centered in essence. Okay. And as we support the system in basically finding its center, its plumb line, its core again, it's automatically releasing a fair amount of adhesions, torques, twists through the upper quads on both sides bilaterally. And as that happens, it allows for any tuck of the pelvis to drop away and allows for the sacrum and the tailbone to connect into the very core of the earth. And as that happens, unwinding a fair amount of, again, torques, twists, adhesions through the rectus abdominis muscles, your ab muscles, which are associated with the heart, which in turn allows for the natural heart energy to expand, not just all also upward, but also downward, anchoring you in the energy of the heart. No small thing. All the way through your lower centers of your human energy fields. Okay, we're going to tap this part out here. Interesting. Invitation to breathe, to receive, however feels right for you. Okay, and then as I was tapping that out, I could feel this energy like of a drum beat come in. We're actually bringing in the consciousness of the drum. I think of the drum as being multiple things, whether it's an instrument that invokes trance states, whether it's an instrument that reminds us how to connect to our own beat, or whether it helps us to shake loose old debris. Maybe it does all three. We're linking that through to the very center, the very core of your heart. And much like a symphony, it begins to shake, rattle, and roll, and rumble through this heart space. And I see those heart's desires that have been maybe tucked in there a little bit too protectedly, a little bit too containedly. And begin to see them shake loose and begin to rise to the outer edges of your heart to become radiated outwards, to become noticed, because it's actually safe to be seen now. And as that becomes out, as that energy becomes outward, it also brings in that connection to our outward self-expression. Which isn't just what you want to say, it's actually what you want to do and offer and create in this world. And allowing that to freely be seen and to radiate that outward, to allow that to, like light, luminously, like the rays of the sun, reach all the way through any blind spots, any dark areas, to be able to land effectively. And for whatever reason, we're bringing in, I don't know much about this crystal, but we're bringing in the energy of a clear quartz crystal to basically, oh, what's my word? Exponentially radiate outwards this energy from the very center of you. And as that happens, I see this like prism of rainbows, which have lots of meanings. And in this context, I'm thinking them as the one that I potentially gravitate towards the most, which is that of new beginnings. Okay, with that, it's linking you. Feel free to take a slow, deep breath here to your mom. However, this time it's steering it in the way that you've always wanted it to have been. So imagine if you actually got to program that, you actually got to call the shots of exactly what you wanted that to look like. And then you guys to be met, interfaced with by the energy of mom in a way that allows you to deeply be reprogrammed and be in the flow of maternal love in ways that you may not have ever experienced before. Huh. New beginnings. Not the energy of mom that you're used to, but the energy of the mother. In her fullest expression. And the mother archetype has a lot of faces. The mother is often associated with being the creatrix, the creator of all that is known and unknown alike. And in our human connections to our human mothers, hooey. Does it ever seem like they have control over our entire world, especially when we're being created, when we're being gestated, even when we're being born and after? And for some of you, that may have been a glorious experience. And for others, it may have felt like you were dominated, like you were suffocated, like you were strangled, like you were limited in some way, shape, or form. So as we bring in the pure essence of maternal love, it begins to allow those other layers that have held all of your energy around your physical human mom in play to begin to soften, not to take away from history or anything that may have happened back then, or not to take away from the history of your ancestors, but to allow for another option to creatively be embraced. And if you're open to it, and you do not need to be, if you're open to it, I'm going to invite you as an experiment to try on these words. I forgive you, Mom. I forgive you, Mom. I forgive you, Mom. And with that, the heart begins to radiate. With that, the heart becomes into its fullest expression, its fullest expansion, its fullest energy field can reach out. As it connects to the mother energy, which is present in everything and everyone, and holds the embodiment of all that's been created and all that's yet to have been created. Also, as that happens, the energy of, I'm going to say, Ice Queen or Ice Princess alike begins to soften and melt. That archetypal energy begins to disintegrate. Almost like sun hitting ice. And with that brings in liberation of joy. I see that puddle of water once again forming. This time it's actually at the soles of the feet. It's actually supporting a reframe around what it is to stand here in joy, as water is meant to bring us into deep connection to all things joyful. All of your emotional experiences are meant to be integrated through the lens of joy, which usually begins to really get located when we've melted away some of the other emotional layers that have carried trapped, imprisoned joy within it. It just didn't look like it at the time. However, when we turn towards that which we were fearing to do so, it usually carries a bit of a surprise. And usually, the very center, the very core of that is nothing more than this particular emotion, that of joy itself. And here, running the permissions that it's safe to feel joy. Safe to feel joy. And even if you can just only catch like a little flicker, a little small bit of that, I'm going to bring in this time a rose quartz crystal to support its amplification. Allowing its message to radiate through the pink quartz energy, which carries love. I'm not sure why all the crystals are popping up today. Maybe that's a sign for me to go learn a little bit more about them. But I don't know a ton about them. Almost everyone I know knows more about them than I do. So feel free to substitute your own understandings of them here. However, I do know this particular rose quartz has some pink and a little bit of blue in it, which happens in rose quartz crystals sometimes. And the blue brings in the throat chakra. It brings in the capacity to communicate, to express this love in ways that you may not have been able to before. Maybe again, that was a learned response. Maybe that was your own idea that you had to communicate in a certain way. Or maybe that was just how you again learned how to manage the world around you. And as it begins to soften, melt, fade away, as this rose quartz that has a little bit of blue in it supports the radiation of this new frequency through you. I hear the words, they're simply, I stand in love. I stand in love. I stand in love. And almost like Pachamama, the energy of the mother archetype herself reaches through you into the very core of your heart, and if it could whisper, it might say something like, "Oh, darling, I've been right here waiting for you. Oh, darling, I've been right here waiting for you." As I say that, there's some old, ancient. As old as your timeline itself, of all that gets carried in this maternal ancestral energy field. Old. Sense of ache, longing, desire to be in deepest connection to source, to spirit, to being in reunion mode. So much so that it may have, at somewhere in your family history, or potentially even with yin and you, come through as, well, if I am no longer in a body, I'll get to be with the essence of spirit again, which may have come through in the form of suicidal thoughts, potentially even a desire to act, or it may have been a precursor to that in a more subtle form. And I'm not saying that all depression carries that desire. However, I will say that I'm going to bet dollars to donuts that every form of depression ultimately is just that, seeking reconnection to source, to spirit. And it gets a little bit confusing when you're in the thick of the pain of being a human at times. So it may come out on occasion as having an urge to die. I don't think I've talked a whole lot about suicidality before, but usually suicidality is just a longing for something to end. And that longing is usually just the desire for that pain, that suffering, that hurt, that challenge, that feeling of disconnect from source itself is often at the very core of all of that. Wanting something to end. So this begins to allow those old experiences, not just for you, but for your ancestry, to soften around any confusion around, I'll call it confused death urges. And in that is encapsulated everything that I've shared about suicidality and depression alike. And whatever form that showed up in, and I presented a couple, but it may have a different face for you. Feel free to honor whatever that shows up for you. And then we're just simply running the permissions. Just finding the right wording. It changed halfway through. We get to be together now. We get to be together now. And I'm feeling that same maternal energy come through the very core, the very center of your heart. Oh, darling, we get to be together now. And as that happens, it releases the belief system that tenderness, that love is somehow a weakness, and that melts off of the conception vessel meridian, which carries off through the midline of our front body all of our feminine, nurturing, nourishing energy. We've often been taught in this world how we've lived it, anyways, in our current way of being in it. That we have to cut off our feeling, that we have to be logical instead. And I wonder what it might be like to love irrationally. No, I don't know, just a thought. Maybe I should say, I don't know, just a feeling. What would it be to irrationally turn towards love again and again and again? Bringing with it the full gamut of the full human experience. And getting to live fully. Breathing here as we tap that part out, receiving here. And you're welcome to stay right here with this all. If you would like additional support, bringing in the resource that we located earlier, I've got a 3-minute song for you to play. It's called Darling, which I had to perfectly locate for given all that we've traversed in our session today. It's by a beautiful chorus. I'll pop the link into the chat feature here momentarily. Breathing, receiving.
Darling, darling, you're beautiful. Gotta keep your head up. Never let anything bring you down. Sunshine will always come around. Stay strong, move on. You have such a beautiful soul. Let your energy radiate. Darling, darling, you're beautiful. You gotta keep your head up. Never let anything bring you down. The sunshine will always come around. Stay strong, move on. You have such a beautiful soul. Let your energy radiate.
DJ was off there for a sec. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here in these ways, and thank you for being here exactly as you are. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead, y'all. Thank you for the gift of you, and we'll see you next week. Yeah, just darling indeed. Bye for now, everybody. Yeah, you're welcome.